The Revictimization Relief Act was signed into law by Pennsylvania Governor Tom Corbett in October in response to high-profile convicted murderer Mumia Abu-Jamal's recorded commencement speech at Vermont's Goddard College. And now, several journalists are among plaintiffs looking to overturn the law in a suit filed in federal court. Among them, freelance writer Christopher Morath. He joins us now on NewsWorks Tonight. Christopher, thanks for being here this evening.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Now, as I understand it, the law is intended to prevent those convicted of a crime from engaging in activities that further the, quote, mental anguish of the victim. It gives said victims the right to file action in court for judicial review. It was Montgomery County Republican State Representative Mike Varib who introduced the bill. He appeared on WHYY's Radio Times in November. Let's listen to his substantiation for the effort.
We don't feel that prisoners should be restricted from communicating, and we don't feel that prisoners should be restricted on their speech to the outside world. What we are trying to stop is that communication that then tears the scab off the wounds of our victims. And that's where mental anguish, very clearly defined in many other acts in our Commonwealth, it's up to a judge to make that decision.
And let's reinforce that notion. He's saying it would be at the judge's discretion. So if we trust judges to appropriately interpret the First Amendment, then some might say, what's wrong with the law?
Well, there's several problems with the statement that Representative Varib presented previously. For one thing, it's important to note that this law will not only relate to prisoners who are incarcerated. And I think that's a misconception that's been perpetuated a bit. This will apply to all ex-offenders, people that have paid their debts to society. So even if we somehow accepted that a law preventing prisoners from speaking on topics that are politically relevant, which courts have ruled we cannot do based simply on emotional distress, the fact that people that have paid their debt to society would also be encapsulated in this particular law mean that it could apply to so many different Pennsylvanians that are, you know, on the street right now, working among us, living among us, our neighbors. I do believe it's important to protect victims from undue harassment and threats. We already have laws on the books that do that. This is a broad, vague law that casts a overly wide net that has the potential to ensnare in it many people who don't deserve to be.
Connect the dots then how it then also affects media, journalism.
Well, from a journalist perspective, free speech and freedom of the press, I think, are intricately entwined. It would be hard to imagine one without the other. And a law that impacts an entire class of citizens based not on what they say, but just simply the fact that they are saying it. The implications may be unknown right now, but that doesn't make them any more scary for any champion of free speech and free press, in my opinion.
Could you see a way to limit it and it still being effective and legal?
Well, I don't write laws, but
well, that's precisely precisely what Mike Varib says. He says it would be at a judge's discretion.
Well, that now there's a point to be made there too, which is once again to revert to prior Supreme Court rulings. Supreme Court has determined that in prior cases that the mere presence of a potentially open-minded and conscientious adjudicator does not negate a law that on its face violates the Constitution, which this does.
It's widely considered that the bill was hastily written in response to Mumia Abu-Jamal's commencement address and then signed into law in October. In the intervening weeks, have you seen much use of its application?
The law has not been applied yet, but that doesn't mean that it won't. But the problem for journalists like myself is the unknown aspect. This is basically right now a ticking time bomb on free speech in Pennsylvania. And none of us knows when it might go off or how close we might be to it when it does. And as people who cover criminal justice, we are in proximity to it quite frequently.
Does that proximity mean that you and journalists at large could also be held liable?
Well, a perfect example. I'm sitting here in front of you right now. You don't know my criminal past. I may have committed a crime of violence in my 20s, and that would be enjoinable if somebody decided that hearing me on the radio, you know, created emotional distress with them. So I think the potential is there, at least, for any third-party publication to be impacted by this law.
Christopher, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Christopher Morath is a freelance writer. His work appears in Al Jazeera America and nextcity.org.